You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
With over 8,000 threat hunters analyzing over 65 trillion signals daily, Microsoft works tirelessly with the federal government to keep our nation's data secure. This 30-year-plus partnership is driving mission innovation that is secure by design. Whether optimizing your existing defenses or tackling advanced threats with AI, Microsoft gives you the intelligence and the automation you need to defend at mission scale. Let's work together to stay ahead of emerging threats and secure your mission anywhere. Learn more at aka.ms/fedcyber. That's aka.ms/fedcyber. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the CyberWire's Research Saturday. I'm Dave Bittner, and this is our weekly conversation with researchers and analysts tracking down the threats and vulnerabilities, solving some of the hard problems of protecting ourselves in a rapidly evolving cyberspace. Thanks for joining us.
So we've been investigating the sort of machine learning attack surface for some time now, and we realized quite early on that there was some low-hanging fruit in terms of being able to execute code through machine learning models.
Joining us this week are Tom Bonner and Owen Wickens. They're from Hidden Layer's SIA team, the Synaptic Adversarial Intelligence team. The research we're discussing today is titled Weaponizing Machine Learning Models with Ransomware.
As part of that, we were looking at ways in which malware could be deployed through models, and
That's Tom Bonner.
So I think it's probably good to preface it with the fact that we like ML is being used in like nearly every vertical these days.
That's Owen Wickens.
I think there was a recent survey that said that surveyed CEOs, and they said about 86% of them had said that ML is part of their critical business function. And with that, we were thinking like, well, how much of an attack vector is this? So we've been researching this now for, I suppose the last 6, 7, 8 months. And we've been finding that there is particular kind of weak points within machine learning that people just haven't really considered or haven't looked at yet. Because I suppose with any new technology, it tends to race on ahead of security consideration. So, with models themselves, training is a huge cost, right? I mean, financially, as well as time, as well as, processing capability. And to solve this, people use pre-trained models. And pre-trained models are essentially the result of this massive computation. And they can be shared freely and easily. And there's actually like a huge community built around the open source sharing of models, very similar to, open source software. But with that has kind of come a little bit of, lax scrutiny in that, models can be hijacked and code can be inserted in them. And I suppose that's kind of where we are with the research that we put out, in that we're trying to really shine the light on the fact that these models can be abused so readily and have been able to be abused for so long.
Well, Tom, let's go through this together then. Take us through step by step. I mean, how did you go about this exploration here?
So the first thing we looked at was a very popular machine learning library called PyTorch. It's used for quite a lot of text generation models, image classifiers, things like that. And under the hood, it's storing its data using a format called Pickle. This is part of the Python library for serializing data. Now, unfortunately, there's been a big red warning box in the Pickle documentation for probably about the last 10 years saying, do not use this if you do not trust the source of the data, because you can embed executable code in a Pickle file. Now, I think we'd known about this for quite some time, but we just sort of wanted to take it to its logical extreme, if you will. So we looked at ways of abusing the Pickle file format to execute arbitrary code. And also we looked at ways in which we could then embed and hide the malware in a model as well. So we ended up using an old technique called steganography for sort of embedding secret messages into other kind of plain text messages would be the original form. Now, in this case, we actually targeted what are called the weights and biases in a model. So perhaps more colloquially known as neurons. And by targeting the neurons in the model, we were able to change them very slightly and embed a malicious payload in there in such a way that wouldn't really affect the efficacy of the machine learning model at all. And then using Pickle to execute arbitrary code, when the model is loaded, we can reconstruct the malware payload from the neurons and execute it. So what this means is that the model itself, it looks as normal, really. It loads and runs as normal. But when it is loaded up on data scientist system or up in the cloud, wherever you're deploying this pre-trained model, it's going to automatically execute malware upon load.
Now, what is the normal amount of scrutiny that a model like this would get from a security point of view? I mean, if someone is using this, is deploying it, to what degree do they trust it out of the box?
That's a very good question. And really the sort of crux of the problem is that most security software is not really looking too deeply into machine learning models these days. There are a lot of what are called model zoos, which are online repositories where people can share their pre-trained models, places like Hugging Face or TensorFlow Hub. And I think data scientists are quite used to just downloading a model, loading it up on their machine, loading it up on a sort of cloud or AWS instance without really doing any sort of security checks to see if it's been tampered with or subverted in a malicious manner. So, yeah, really, this is why we took things to such an extreme, was to highlight that malicious code can quite easily be embedded in these things and, automatically executed when you load them.
The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business. Oh, and we've seen this sort of thing on GitHub as a supply chain issue where, you know, somebody can have a repository there, something gets changed, people are relying on it, and the change, the malicious change makes its way into people's production pipeline. Is this the same sort of thing you're imagining here, where someone would surreptitiously insert something into one of these models and it goes undetected?
Yeah, absolutely. I think It's very similar to your traditional supply chain attack. And I suppose, you know, the limitations of such an attack are really up to the imagination of the attacker. This can spread out to be an initial access point. It could spread to be a source of lateral movement. You could deploy other malware, have a remote backdoor for repeat access into the environment. And I think what makes these attacks kind of a little bit not more dangerous than traditional attacks, but just as is that often with models, you'll have a lot of access to training data, and that training data may contain personal identifiable information, or it may, like, they'll also have access to the model binary themselves or other models that have been trained within the environment. And in that instance, if you've been training a model for the last couple months and has had a lot of your sensitive data go into it, if that gets stolen, that could be a huge financial cost, as well as quite a large, losing your advantage really against other companies if that's taken. And obviously there's the potential for things to be ransomed back as well. And, you know, basically following the kind of more traditional cybersecurity attack format that we've seen in the past.
And I would just add to that as well that there's very little in terms of sort of integrity checking or signing around models. So, yeah, from a supply chain perspective, it's pretty scary. It would be very easy for an attacker to subvert a model, and you know, a reputable vendor could end up distributing it downstream to their clients, and nobody would really be able to know or tell at the moment.
And what degree of technical proficiency or sophistication would be required to have the skills to be able to do something like what you all have outlined here in your research?
It's actually quite low. So the technical skills required, I would say right now, this is pretty much in the domain of script kiddies to be able to pull off. We released some tooling to do this, but we're by no means the first. There are others who've released tools for targeting the pickle file format, for performing steganography on neural networks and ML models. So really, it's just a case of stringing together the right commands these days and inserting your malicious payload. It's not an awful lot of skill for an attacker.
And Owen, in terms of detecting this, are there tools that will do this or techniques that you all can recommend?
There is. There's been research into securing the pickle file format in the past because it's inherently vulnerable. One of those is Fickling by Trail of Bits. They've put in very good work really into detecting abuse of pickle files. But there's also a whole host of other ways that can be abused, that pickles can be abused as well. And that can potentially be another major pitfall. So I suppose it would be silly of me to pass up the opportunity to say that that's something that we do look at inside Hidden Layer is a way of scanning models and verifying integrity of them to ensure that they're not housing malicious payloads and such. But other than that, it's not been extremely explored within the industry as far as automated ways go outside of tools such as Fickling.
Tom, are you aware of this sort of thing being exploited in the wild? Have we seen any examples of this?
We're just starting to uncover, sort of in the wild attacks using these techniques. Just recently, we've started to see common tools, things like Cobalt Strike, Metasploit, leveraging pickle file formats to execute code. Again, going back to the fact that a lot of antivirus and EDR solutions aren't really monitoring pickle, Python, and things like that very closely. We've seen a new framework recently as well called Mythic, and that allows to craft pickle payloads that will automatically execute, say, shell code or a known binary. And from there, you can load up C2 or some sort of initial access or initial compromise malware.
So what are your recommendations then? I mean, for folks who may be concerned about this, what sort of things can they put in place to protect themselves?
Well, first and foremost, do not load untrusted. In fact, don't really load any machine learning models you've downloaded from the internet on your corporate machine or in your very expensive cloud environment where it could potentially be hijacked for, you know, coin mining or things like that. Aside from that, careful scrutiny of models, so scanning the models for malware, for payloads, evaluating sort of the behavior of models as well. So we can use sandboxes, for example, to check the behavior of a model when it's loaded and make sure it's not doing things like spawning up cmd.exe to create a reverse shell. And also for suppliers of models, looking into signing models so that we can verify the integrity and even ensure they're not corrupt in any way. We're sort of lacking basic mechanisms like that for models at the moment.
Owen, any final thoughts?
Probably is also worth mentioning that we did also release a Yara rule for public consumption to detect a lot of different types of malicious pickle files. So that is something that we tried to provide people with today so that they can look and scan their models. Tom also touched on a really interesting point there, the use of coin miners within production cloud computing environments. I mean, if there's one thing those have access to, it's vast amounts of GPU computational power. And you can imagine with a lot of traditional attacks, you'd see coin miners accidentally ending up as an initial stage in victim environments. And you can imagine now if they so happen to get into a massive SageMaker instance or something like that, how much illicit fortune could be made.
Our thanks to Tom Bonner and Owen Wickens from Hidden Layer for joining us today. The research is titled Weaponizing Machine Learning Models with Ransomware. We'll have a link in the show notes. And now a word from our sponsor, Sixsense. Sixsense provides award-winning cloud-based automated endpoint and vulnerability management solutions to streamline IT and security operations. With its advanced platform, businesses gain complete visibility and control over their infrastructure, reducing IT and security risks and optimizing operational efficiency. With Sixsense, you'll get real-time alerts, risk-based vulnerability prioritization and remediations, and an intuitive automation and orchestration engine so you can focus on your core business goals, confident in the knowledge that your enterprise is secure, compliant, and running smoothly. To learn why enterprises choose Sixsense, visit sixsense.com. The CyberWire Research Saturday podcast is a production of N2K Networks, proudly produced in Maryland out of the startup studios of Data Tribe, where they're co-building the next generation of cybersecurity teams and technologies. This episode was produced by Liz Urban and senior producer Jennifer Iben. Our mixer is Elliot Peltzman. Our executive editor is Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.